Welcome to St. Andrew's podcast, Sunday the 21st of June. Through June and July, we are exploring some of the characters and events in the book of Genesis. As we reflect on their stories, we're asking the questions, what does it mean to follow God? And how does God fulfill his promises, even through flawed people? And what can we learn from them? Last Sunday, we focused on Abraham and Sarah as they follow God's call and journey into the unknown, believing God's promise to bless them and to bless others through them. Again and again, their faith gave way to doubt and fear, and they tried to take matters into their own hands rather than waiting for God. They made a real mess of things, but God didn't give up on them. This week, we stay with Abraham and Sarah's story. Rejoicing in the birth of Isaac in fulfilment of God's promise. But we will pay equal attention to the experience of Hagar and her son Ishmael, who were also a part of Abraham's household. We may feel the inhumanity and injustice in the way that they were treated. We may weep with them as they cry out to God, and we may see glimmers of light and hope in God's response. We begin with a Bible reading from Genesis chapter 21, verses 1 to 21. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him, as God commanded. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. And she added, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. The child grew and was weaned, and on the day Isaac was weaned, Abraham held a great feast. But Sarah saw that the son whom Hagar the Egyptian had borne to Abraham was mocking. And she said to Abraham, get rid of that slave woman and her son, for that woman's son will never share in the inheritance with my son Isaac. The matter distressed Abraham greatly, because it concerned his son. But God said to him, do not be so distressed about the boy and your slave woman. Listen to whatever Sarah tells you, because it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. I will make the son of the slave into a nation also, because he is your offspring. Early the next morning, Abraham took some food and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar. He set them on her shoulders and then sent her off with the boy. She went on her way and wandered in the desert of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she put the boy under one of the bushes. Then she went off and sat down about a bow shot away, for she thought, I cannot watch the boy die. And as she sat there, she began to sob. God heard the boy crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, what is the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Lift the boy up and take him by the hand, for I will make him into a great nation. Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. So she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy as he grew up. He lived in the desert and became an archer. While he was living in the desert of Paran, his mother got a wife for him from Egypt. Laughing with Sarah. So we begin with joy and laughter. At last, in her old age, Sarah gives birth to a baby boy. She must have been exhausted, but now she has given Abraham an heir. God's promise is fulfilled. The baby is named Isaac, which means laughter. We all know that laughter can be very life-giving, medicine for the soul, as an old saying goes. I wonder if you found yourself laughing a lot during lockdown as you try to cope with a bit of gallows humour. When was the last time you laughed wholeheartedly, really laughed, until your belly ached and your eyes watered? But laughter can take many forms. There's a disbelieving laughter and a cynical laughter, perhaps born out of many disappointments. Both Abraham and Sarah laughed at the idea that God would give them a son, for they were getting old and had given up on the idea that they could ever have children. There's a joyful laughter which wells up and spills out of us as we rejoice and celebrate good news. Perhaps this is the laughter Sarah describes when she says, "God has brought me laughter." Then there's laughing with people, that friendly laughter. People laughing together at funny situations, stories or experiences. Perhaps there would have been plenty of that sort of laughter going on during the great party which Abraham threw to celebrate the day when Isaac was weaned. Of course, there's another form of laughter. We've probably all experienced it. Laughing at. That mocking laughter that makes fun of somebody. That nasty laughter that makes someone feel small and wounds their sense of worth. Perhaps Sarah had been on the receiving end of that sort of laughter again and again during a lifetime of childlessness. In a society in which, for a woman, childlessness equaled failure and shame. This might help us to understand Sarah's extreme reaction when she sees Ishmael, the son of her Egyptian slave girl, mocking her son Isaac at his party. A joyful celebration has turned sour, and Sarah wants them sent away, not just away from the party, but away from their home and out of her life. But as with most situations, there's another side to this story. So let's take some time to explore the experience of Hagar and Ishmael. Feeling for Hagar. Back in Genesis chapter 16, it was a few years before the birth of Isaac. We read how Sarai and Abram run out of patience and faith in God's ability to give them children. They take matters into their own hands. Sarai encourages Abraham to sleep with her slave girl, Hagar, whom they had acquired in Egypt, in order to produce a son, an heir. In fact, Sarai gives Hagar to Abraham to be his wife. Polygamy was common in that time and place. Hagar did not have rights. However, this whole arrangement soon turned sour. Put yourself in Hagar's shoes. She's somebody's slave. She's got no rights. She's like property to be given and taken. No choice but to obey her mistress and sleep with old man Abraham. No choice about carrying a baby, knowing that she would probably have to give it away. Perhaps it's understandable that Hagar began to despise her mistress. Sarai's relationship with Abraham becomes infected by jealousy and blame. And then Sarai takes it out on Hagar, ill-treating her, perhaps verbally, perhaps also physically, perhaps with an element of racial prejudice. For as an Egyptian, Hagar would have looked and sounded different. Abraham failed to protect Hagar from this ill-treatment. No wonder that Hagar ran away before the baby was born. It's easy to judge people when we don't know the full story, to believe half-truths and stereotypes about people, whether that be asylum seekers, black men, rough sleepers, drug addicts, or the LGBTQ community, for example. But let's take time to put ourselves in other people's shoes, to listen to their story without prejudice. We may be shocked at what somebody else has had to endure, and we may find that we have more in common than we think. Rescued by God. Hagar finds herself in this barren wilderness. She's between a rock and a hard place. But an angelic encounter persuades her to return to Sarai and Abraham. Perhaps this was her only means of survival. But the angel of the Lord offers Hagar more than simply survival. Hagar feels noticed by a God who knows her name, who has time to speak with her, who listens and hears her misery, and who speaks tenderly and promises her a hope and a future. I will increase your descendants so much that they will be too numerous to count. This was an astonishing promise to a young slave girl, and with that promise ringing in her ears, she finds courage to return to Abraham and give birth to his son Ishmael. Perhaps Sarai calmed down for a while, maybe out of respect for Abraham. But beneath the surface, there seems to have been a festering bitterness and a simmering resentment between Sarah and Hagar. And when Isaac was a young child, the sight of Ishmael playing with young Isaac and the sound of Ishmael's mocking laughter brought it all back to the surface. For Sarah, it was the last straw. As far as she is concerned, Hagar and Ishmael have to go. She perceives them as a threat and a risk. You can imagine the venom in her voice as she says, "Get rid of that slave woman and her son, for that woman's son will never share in the inheritance with my son Isaac." Sarah doesn't even use their names. She has become blind to their humanity. Once again, Hagar finds herself wandering in the desert, this time with Ishmael dying, running out of food and water, running out of options and running out of hope. Once again, God hears her cries. Once again, God meets her in her distress and speaks tenderly to her and promises that Ishmael will have a bright future and become a great nation. It's been a difficult journey, but at least they are now free. And God is with Hagar and Ishmael as they build a new life. So what do these stories, these experiences, have to say to us in today's world? Beware of bitterness and resentment and the mocking laughter, which can be a telltale sign. As the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." Ephesians chapter 4, 31 to 32. If you're feeling invisible or worthless or ill-treated, take heart from Hagar's encounters with God in the wilderness, with a God who sees, a God who listens, a God who provides, a God who gives hope, a God who is with us. Here is the same God who would enter our world in the person of Jesus and restore value and dignity to many more women and men who felt worthless, invisible, or oppressed. Here is God who would one day suffer and die and rise again to set the world free from sin and death and offer the whole of creation a hope and a future. And here is a God who empowers us with his Spirit and sends us to go and do likewise, to be the body of Christ in the world. So like God, like Jesus, let's notice people who are being overlooked or abused, ill-treated. Let's not walk by on the other side. Let's take time to show care and concern, to listen and understand, to weep with those who weep, to be angry at injustice, and to challenge discrimination, starting, of course, with ourselves. We close now with a prayer before I will share a few questions for discussion or wondering. Let's pray. Almighty God, you've broken the tyranny of sin and have sent the Spirit of your Son into our hearts so that we call you Father. Give us grace to dedicate our freedom to your service, that we and all creation may be brought to the glorious liberty of the children of God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Questions for discussion. 1. What has been a cause for rejoicing and celebration in your life recently? 2. What are the warning signs that bitterness and resentment are beginning to take root in our lives? And what habits and practices can help us to prevent this from building up? 3. How do Hagar's experiences and encounters with God encourage or challenge you? And 4. How has the recent Black Lives Matter campaign affected your understanding of and attitude towards discrimination and injustice?